David, how are you?
Oh, great. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're very welcome, David McSavage.
When I was telling a friend of mine I'm going to be interviewed by Dave Fanning, he starts talking about you, and he used to listen to you back in the 80s and all the bands you discovered. And he said you used to have a big beard and long hair, and he said you looked older then than you do now. Now you look younger.
To quote Bob Dylan, I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now. That's one. Number one. Number two, I didn't have long hair. I wish I did. Mine grew out.
Oh, right.
Kind of
went
out that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You see,
now you look younger. This is what he said.
This is quite true.
And I said, I'll say that to Dave.
Good man yourself. That's a very good start, Dave.
Thanks,
Give that man a fiver.
Yes.
Not you, your friend. Now, let me just take a look. Next weekend, you're playing gigs. You're playing Clora and Ennis on Friday, and you're playing the Pavilion in Dunleary on Saturday.
Yeah, on the 14th I'm playing. So not, it's next, when is it next?
Yes.
What's the date now?
It's next Friday and Saturday, you fool.
All right.
Okay, let's take a look at what's happening, though, at the moment. Where are we with Savage Eye in terms of television in early week?
We are
and
finished,
series
thank God.
Four I've is
done,
over.
Yeah, I'm glad. I didn't want to do fourth series. I did it for the money, and I shouldn't have done it, and I'm glad it's over and it's gone, and I'm bored poopless with all the characters. And you know when I walk down the street, obviously the main character people remember is the bull Mick, the homophobic.
Now that's really funny, you say.
And people
that.
Go queers, and so and that's okay, But I'm writing a new thing, and I want to just put all that behind me. I'm glad I did it, but I'm bored with it now.
Okay, the bull Mick. Then let's just take a look at that character. Those who don't know, the Savage Eye is the guy behind the bar, wiping the glass or whatever he happens to be through his gritted, disgusting teeth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is as vile and as kind of racist and as homophobic as you could possibly imagine.
Yes. Which a lot of barmen, by the way, and maybe taxi drivers. Well, they are. They're allowed to evolve in that way because people are so desperate for drink that they will allow them to say anything. They're going, I don't care what you're saying as long as I can get drink. I mean, you see the reverence that barmen are held in a pub when people are desperate to get drink, and they have that look.
Yeah, but it's usually more the customers that are like that than the barmen.
Oh, there's some barmen are dreadful, aren't they? But their own pubs, they're allowed to evolve and have these horrible views and never be challenged because they're in their own little universe. You can tell by the way you're looking at me that you don't agree.
No, I tell you, it's not that what I don't agree
you're
with.
Afraid to,
no, what I was going
see,
to say
you're
was,
of
I want what I want to do is to say, and I hope I'm allowed to say this and see how you take this. The Bull Mick character, right? As I say, he's vile, he's racist, he's homophobic. I don't like him. I don't think he's good, and I don't think he's funny.
Right. Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, God. But, of course, you see, it's like you're in an audience and you're not laughing. And everybody around you is laughing.
Yeah.
No, I can't say to you...
Well, I've
wait
been
a
in
second.
Those situations.
Well, wait a second, Dave. Other people find this funny.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's funny. And you're telling me, well, it's not funny. So how can I tell you something is funny or it's not funny? It's down to personal taste or, a lack of it or... No, sorry, I wasn't having a go at you there at all. No, because it's quite boring to try and convince whether something is funny or not. But a lot of people like it.
President for life?
Yeah, and I got bored with her as well.
I don't care, that's hilarious.
But isn't it funny though?
Birdcage.
Though you work on these characters and then you take them as far as they can go and then you start getting repetitive, and that's what happened around all those characters. There was a few new characters, Head Wreckers, and I did a Rihanna thing, and I enjoyed that one. But,
Because, I remember when Kenny Everett, years ago, had his sketch show and had about six or seven different characters. Mm. And one or two of them definitely did after a while. Oh, no, the one where he crossed his legs here.
Yeah, yeah.
That does happen. Well, I found I've never liked the Bull Mick.
But also, it's funny, isn't it? Like you're telling me, and what am I supposed to do for you? It's funny, isn't it?
That's the point.
Okay, so let's say you don't like
just
the Bull
Mick. Just ignore me.
Have you, what do you laugh at comedically? Do you ever watch any comedy shows? You're absorbed with music.
No, I don't watch as many comedy shows as other people do.
Nah.
I'm not necessarily the number one stand-up person. I go to gigs sometimes and I go, oh, I think I'd rather be watching a movie, or I'd rather be watching a box set, or I think I'd be watching a band.
Yeah.
I'm not a great person for theatre or architecture necessarily, or modern installations.
No, I'm just asking you, is there any comedy show that you've tuned into on
TV?
Well,
it's funny you should say that, because normally what people find is the most important thing in their lives happens at a certain time, i.e. maybe in their late teens or early 20s, and stays with them forever. I found that much later in life, The Office came along on TV, and I thought it was the greatest single thing I'd ever seen on TV, comedy or otherwise.
Now, here's the thing. My father can't stand that.
Yeah, well...
He doesn't understand it, doesn't get it.
It was the start of a new kind of comedy of embarrassment.
I love watching The Office, and I find it, when I want to just watching anything well-made or good kind of has a positive
and
effect
one
on you.
That you felt, oops, I don't know about this, but actually it got better. Yeah. Then they did two specials for Christmas, going, no, that's a step too far, and that got even better, and then they stopped it.
Yeah.
Perfect, just about
genius.
14
no, absolutely, as good as it gets.
As good as it gets, indeed. Okay, let's get back to you then. If it has been as good as it gets, David, in terms of the Savage Eye, and you did number four and felt, okay, there's often like, okay, that's the shoehorn out of it. You realise that was a step too far, possibly from your point of view.
Yes.
What's next?
I'm working on a thing called Poor Me and the Bastards, and it's about people who are incredibly selfish and narcissistic and can't form truly proper relationships with other people because they're so wrapped up in their own heads, and how ultimately disappointing your experience of life is when you're like that. And to the backdrop of trying to put a TV show together, so these, so sort of examining the characters that are gravitate towards, you know, broadcasting TV creative types and all the distractions involved in that. And that's what I'm working on.
So it's a backroom TV thing, kind of, which we've...
Yeah. Kind of.
Right, okay. And will it be, and does it have to be, does it need to be, or shall it definitely be controversial, push all boundaries like
before?
Well,
I mean, you know, I am interested, dark comedy interests me, and, and I feel very uncomfortable when I'm not allowed to speak my mind. So I think, you know, life is dark, and you know, behind closed doors, people are suffering at many different levels. I mean, that you know, so, and I find that interesting and funny.
Okay, well, the fact that we'll divide audiences, I presume, because that's what David McSavage usually does. It's usually a 50-50 thing along the way. You're obviously okay with that. That's fine. That's the way it should be.
I mean, if you start second-guessing what you think people want to hear, those people who don't like you will hate you more. So at least if they hate you, they'll think, well, he's got integrity. He sticks to his guns. And so usually when people are complaining about something being controversial, or, you know, basically what they're saying is, it's not funny. They don't find it funny.
Okay, hold on a second. Would you? By the way,
it's not. Also, it's funny. It's not the best way to get somebody to open up and feel comfortable to tell a comedian the first thing that you say to him.
I realise this.
But would you have said that to an international music artist? Would you have said, mate, I don't find
Do you know
that
something?
Song. I bet you wouldn't.
I bet you. You could listen back to an interview that in this very studio I had with Neil Young many years ago. And he had an album out called Landing on Water. And I did skirt around the issue slightly, but I think he knew what I was saying. So, what you mean is you think my new album is a piece of crap?
Yeah, yeah.
I said, yes, I do.
You said that to him?
Absolutely. And you could hear it back. And he went, no, you see. And he tried to explain to me why I was wrong.
Did you say that? Oh, well, then fair enough, because he's a prickly customer. I would say
bloody sure he is. Yeah, willful. He does exactly what he wants to do. And unfortunately, he needs a producer now and again. When you do exactly what you want to do, do you think you get annoyed if people say that that you target people's beliefs?
No. Oh, yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, I mean, if like I say, if you start thinking about, oh, I'm going to hurt that person's feelings, or, you know, that person has a right to, but sometimes, you know, I know this might sound very extreme or harsh or something. You know that expression, oh, your man's asking for a slap or something.
Yeah.
Now, I might be asking for a slap as well at times, but sometimes the things that people say, or they're so ridiculous, I find myself drawn to slapping those people down, you know, through comedy or through, and it can be hurtful. But like, if you're looking for a really nice, well-adjusted, centered, grounded person, I'm not it.
But
I have to embrace my.
If, for instance, on the Savage Eye, you might see that you weren't necessarily targeting people's beliefs or what they really kind of feel to be true to themselves or being Irish, whatever. I'd say, why not? I would have thought that's what David McSavage is meant to do.
Well, you know, targeting people, because I think the Catholic Church, you know, they've had a really good go with Ireland, and they've caused an awful lot of misery, and so that's one area that, like, I will relentlessly go for them. And I think there's an awful lot of bullshit, and there's a lot, and I get very angry when I start thinking about it. And I think certainly we have this beaten dog thing in Ireland where we sure it's grand, and we take off the cap, and we back off,
and
go to the
grand
pub, and you know, so no. And I find Ireland a bit of a sad place at the moment, because so many people are leaving, like, you know, a lot of young people are leaving, and the lifeblood feels like the lifeblood, so it's all old bollocks, is like you and me,
exactly,
just hanging around, and then young kids and old guys who had their day and we're just walking around.
Well, then, is that the way it was for you many years ago? Because, like, once you left school or after that, you did go off around the world.
I couldn't have waited to get the hell out of
the... To get the hell out of Ireland?
The judgment and the disappointment that I always felt growing up from my father and from my teachers and everything, I couldn't wait to get out of this place. I mean, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, I mean, it was so monocultural. There was nothing happening, nowhere to go. I mean, the most exciting spot might have been Leeson Street, where you get charged 100 euro for a glass of wine or something. And the minute I left, it was fantastic, I must say.
Okay,
I started busking and, you know.
Yeah, and you went to odd places, and you went to like far-flung places, let's say, from Peru to whatever. You went to, was it China where you went to
Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Yeah, and you went teaching. I went teaching English. I couldn't do it because, I'd invariably say the wrong thing. Well, the thing is with Japanese people, they'd go to these English conversation schools. And, of course, in their own language, they're not very conversational, you know. And so then they're trying to learn how to be conversational in a language that they can't speak. And so I'd be making fun of them. And anyway, I kept on getting fired. And so I started busking. And that was, you know, whatever, 25 years ago or something.
And you got fired.
Yeah.
And that was what put you out on the street, to play music in Tokyo on the street.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
What were you playing? Were you playing like... You
know, I was playing Bob Dylan, the Beatles, you know, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And I busked, you know, for many years. And it was a very liberating existence, because you just rock up in any city, stand in a square somewhere, and you'd make enough money to pay for a hostel or...
Sure, whatever. And you were doing that too in Temple Bar in Dublin and that, but did you discover after a while that if you made people laugh, you got more money?
Did that.
On the street?
Yeah, I'm a better comedian. In other words, all the things that I got fired for, all the things that I got into trouble for, all the things that pissed people off about me... Were the very things that made it easy to come up with sketch ideas and all that kind of stuff.
I know, but like secondary school in Ireland isn't necessarily... It's designed to necessarily push you into the best place that you can be. It's designed to put you into specific places.
That's right.
And that's what's wrong with it.
That's right.
Right, and would that be the same, would you say, with your father in some ways, in that, like, you know, he expected certain something out of you, and he was disappointed.
He was, you know, it's the classic Irish father thing. He's a very loving guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, the emotional side of things, and he wants, as a father, you want the best for your son. So he looks at me and I remember he'd ask me things like, "So, what are your plans for the next few years?" And sure, I had no idea from one day to the next, and I couldn't. And he just found that. Whereas other brothers and sisters, they had a career path, and I don't like long term plans. I don't like doing things in groups either. Big groups of people. Like, I don't understand how people hang around in big groups.
They don't do my nuts. What's it like with your own kids these days?
Well,
how are you with them?
Oh, I'm very lucky. I have a great relationship with my two boys. Daniel, it's 20. Jack is 14. Jack is like he's got sort of 500-year-old wisdom or something. He's so emotionally integrated. And, you know, he makes me feel a bit silly with some of the things I say. He just has a calmness about him. But he got that from his mom. And Daniel is like a bit more like me, which is a bit worrying. And he's an actor. And, so he's going for auditions. He's embracing rejection and failure.
Really?
But that's the only way you learn.
Okay, so that emotional thing that you talk about, I mean, are you better at it with your kids than your dad was with you? Even though you're not giving out about your dad, I know that is just the way it is.
Yeah, I am a little bit better, I hope. But sometimes, you can... When you have kids, you empathise a lot more with your own parents, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is a thing, you know, with boys, you know, when Daniel started getting older, he does want to, you know, tell his dad where to go. He wants to separate. They need that independence for a while. And but I admire Daniel. He's a fantastic kid. It's also nice to think that your kids are so better than you as well, that somehow, evolutionary speaking, that as humans we're sort of getting better.
Right. And one of the things that you did also over 10 years ago now was you gave up the drink.
Yeah.
Did you really feel that you were an alcoholic?
Oh, yeah.
No,
I am an alcoholic, and I'm drinking at the moment. Like, I went back drinking after. I didn't drink for 10 years, and I started drinking a few months ago. And Yeah, you know, so that's it. You know, it's not, it's no more exciting than that. I mean, people know exactly what that means.
Well, is this all the one day at a time falling off the wagon? Oh my God, what's he done?
How do you mean?
I mean, like, is it a really bad thing that you've gone back drinking?
No, it isn't. But there's lots of different types of alcoholics. I mean, there's the ones that, there's the people, the middle class people who sip white wine after six and keep topping up until they fall asleep. And there's the, you know, low bottom drunks who are in the gutter and they just can't stop drinking until they die, you know. So, yeah, when I drink, I drink to get drunk. I don't drink just for, you know, it's very enjoyable. In the moment, but I don't know if it's sustainable.
Did it get in the way big time years ago?
Oh, it did. You know, an accumulation of so, you know, night after night, and there's a hollowness to just drinking for drinking's sake. You know, you're not drinking for any particular reason. It's and you're just out, and it's very hedonistic, and it becomes you reach a point where you just I can't be doing this anymore. So that, so I was drinking quite heavily for about 7 years. And I stopped for 10 years.
Why'd you go back after 10?
Well, I'm going to sing a song about that. Have you ever seen that great film, Crazy Heart? Did you like that film?
Crazy Heart.
I didn't like it.
Do you know what I quite liked in that? I quite liked Colin Farrell.
Did you?
I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't as crazy about it as other people were. But
I liked it. I identified with it.
Yeah.
You know.
The drinking and the singing.
Yes, I did. I just, I think he's fantastic.
No, he's great.
You drink, apparently, this is a good one, you drink to drown your sorrows, but then somebody said that your sorrows are really good swimmers, so you can't drown them, so they will not be drowned, so you can't, so that was a good saying that somebody...
Okay,
said.
And are you drinking a lot lately?
Yeah, I have been, yeah, but...
And to get drunk, not to enjoy the taste or anything, it's just to get the
Yeah,
hit.
To get drunk, yeah.
Okay, tell me, let's go back...
It's funny, you know, and it's like sort of saying, and do you kill people to watch them die, right, exactly. Or do you kill people just for fun, or is it because you have
that's
to...
That's what Johnny Cash did.
Yeah, no, I kill people for pleasure. And
okay.
Obviously I do it for a living.
Right, okay. Just Savage Eye, I wanted to ask something else again. The Savage Eye was successful, and then you got a second series and a third series, then you got a fourth series, even though you say yourself you almost kind of, maybe it was a step too far and you didn't necessarily even want it. But when it was a success at first, were you relieved or surprised?
Surprised and relieved, definitely, yeah. I mean, I remember the first episode. I mean, you know, that's the thing, and I'm sure I've said this to you before, or I've said it in other situations. I mean, as a comedian, you're standing in front of an audience and they have an expectation that you're funny. And if you aren't funny, and if you're consistently not funny, the anger or hatred that is directed towards you, it seems quite inappropriate. I mean, people really, if you're not funny, people get really angry with you. So I knew that if this show came out and wasn't funny or wasn't good, like, people would go, you know, that guy is such a, you know... Mm. I was very glad that it was well received.
Okay, that's television, which is like done and dusted, and you can watch it yourself at home like anybody else, and the minute they see it, you're sitting there with your bottle of wine or whatever it happens to be. What about next Friday and Saturday? I mean, Laura and Ennis on Friday, the Pavilion Dunleary on Saturday, you're going to be standing up in front of an audience. Mm. How better or different, or how is it easier to deal with that? What after 20 minutes somebody goes, oh, for God's sake, this guy's boring, are you hearing him or whatever?
Yeah, that's never happened. No, but it hasn't. But no, but it's funny. It's a funny question.
I must
question.
Go along to the Pavilion on Saturday.
No, but it's funny though. Like, what are you saying to me? Like, you're saying to me, like, so
is
I'm standing up. Hang a second. I'm doing stand up, and some guy goes, would you stop? This is boring. I'm leaving. Right. Generally, if somebody they wouldn't say that. Or they'd leave. But yeah, you know, I would be surprised. I'd be a little bit hurt. I'd have to have a chat to him. I might give him a free DVD, or we'd have to stop the show a little bit. We'd have to discuss it. And, you know, that's it. It's like you asking me about my sex life and say I'm having sex with a woman. And what would happen now if the woman said, here, stop doing that, I don't like you, don't kiss me? That's the kind of question you just asked me. You know, so it's kind of... But I know, you know, it's kind of a Brendan O'Connor-style question.
Really?
I expected more from you.
Okay.
So what happens, you know, if somebody says something bad, you know, he's always looking for some angle, Brendan.
Right, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Get Brendan on the phone here now. When you mentioned the thing about hating Ireland earlier on,
yes. Hate Ireland, you know, I'm being theatrical, but there's a lack of energy in this country at the moment, because I feel all the young people are leaving. They're leaving this place, and I sense it and feel it. Because even the audience figures for the Savage Isle, like 90,000, and at one point they were 200,000. Right. So, I mean, I don't think the show has radically got that worse. Maybe it's a little bit, but it just feels that there's just so many people are leaving or something like that, or maybe, you know.
Were you surprised that RTE allowed you to do an awful lot of the stuff that you were doing?
I genuinely was, yeah.
Well, listen, we'll do this, but they're never going to let this go through.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was very surprised that they let the priest snatch.
Yeah.
I mean, even that one.
It's a regular pre-snatch.
At the start of every reason, the Catholic Church is a reason for everything in regards to why Ireland is failing or is not doing well within the Savage Eye. And so we have this, a child is snatched in various different ways by a priest.
Yeah.
But to me, that was like, I couldn't believe, I mean, it's so obvious what I'm saying by a priest hiding around and trying to snatch a kid. I mean, it's moral panic. It's the worst thing that can happen. It's horrendous. And, you know, but there it is. No problem. And yeah.
But they did draw the line under some sketch or other about nuns.
Yeah, there was a sketch which was just talking about playing around with the idea of nuns being brides of Christ.
Why do you think RT drew a line under that and not under some other
stuff? Because it was making fun of, I don't know, some iconography or something like that.
Yeah. Really? I think it's about time we did.
Yeah. But I did my little protest. I went into RT dressed as Jesus.
Yeah.
And it was funny, it was the worst protest ever because, you know, I had this photographer with me and he said, go on into the TV centre and see if they throw you out. And so I stood in there for about a few minutes and the receptionist goes, hello, David, how are you?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, listen, you wouldn't call the security. And she said, I know you can't. So I just left. That was it. Rubbish.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay, I can see a new sketch developing. Okay, let's just go back to school for a second. You failed the Leaving Cert.
Thank you.
Did you care?
Yeah, I did. I had
for whose sake? Your parents?
I was the type of person, you know, I often think the similarity between me and RTE because, you know, outwardly you look at RTE and you think that looks like a TV station. But, you know, what the proper remit of a TV station is that it produces quality and this RTE doesn't. So it's failing at its job. So outwardly, when I was in school, I looked like a student. I had all the pens and all the, you know, and all the, but I never studied. I never passed exams. I failed, and I wished that I was good and cared about studying, but I didn't. And I used to have a reoccurring dream that it was 6 months before the Leaving Cert, and if I studied 4 hours every day, I'd, you know.
Yeah.
And I had that dream for years and years and years.
Oh, yeah.
And then it finally...
Everybody knows that one. You wake up and you think, oh, God, I better do some maths, and you did the Leaving 20 years ago.
Yeah. I would have loved to have been a good student and cared about all that stuff, but I couldn't. When I was in class and, you know, they started talking about geography, it would automatically put me to sleep. There was some part of my brain that just did not respond well to that.
But
I did love all the stationery and all the pens, and I loved taking notes. I never learned anything. You see what I mean? That's what I'm saying about RTE. You have the studios, you have all these equipment, you have television cameras, you've got producers, but nobody can write anything. Nobody can write comedy. They can't produce anything original. I mean, I'm sorry to have to say that, and maybe that's making your willy small, but it's the
truth.
It's
not. No.
Okay.
No, don't worry. You can say what you like. Okay, just a matter of interest, your parents, your family.
Yeah.
You were never going to follow your family into politics in any way at all. Do you find it really weird that anybody would even want to be a politician?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. Anybody that would want to be a politician shouldn't be allowed to be a politician. I think that's a great point because... You have to, because it's such a thankless job, you will eventually get thrown out and you have to, the way they operate. So I think politicians should be appointed like jury members. Do you know what I mean? Or something.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's this mixture of, you have to present yourself as if you're a bit thick and you can't talk properly, like, you know, because you don't want to come off too clever, you know, but you are very clever. but you're a good little backroom dealer and you're shaking this hand and doing other things. And so it suits some people, but the kind of people that it suits, they shouldn't be politicians.
Okay, a movie, by the way, about David. Is there going to be a movie about you? I know you've been in movies.
What actor have people said you look like?
Me?
Yeah.
People have said I've looked like somebody, all right, which I've never, a guy who does racing cars, although he's a lot younger than me. What's his name? Eddie Irvine.
Oh, God almighty.
Do I?
That's funny,
That's about the nearest I've ever got. Why are you asking me that?
No, just because...
You're going to say I look like Charlton Heston or something?
Yeah, Charlton Heston, yeah.
No, seriously, but you're asking me that for a reason. Keep going.
No. I don't
want to... Did you want me to ask who do you look like?
No, I didn't want to... I don't want to give you a compliment.
George Clooney.
Yeah, you look like George
Clooney. No, I'm talking about you, you moron.
Left hand.
Okay, I thought that was going to lead to something.
Dave, you've got to, I think the bull Mick is funny. It's just you don't have a very good sense of humour.
You see, this is always it. I can take criticism. No, you can't.
The bull Mick
is just boring. The first time I saw him, I thought, that wasn't funny. But the ninth time I said, take it off and bring on the president. Yeah. The president especially the husband.
I know, because you are a happy dub.
I am.
And they're the worst type. Actually, Dave, I'll be honest with you. As the way you described your reaction to the bull Mick, I thought, yeah, he's right. You know, it's just, you know, it's again and again and again. I got so bored doing it. But no, there was something. See, I'm not going to convince you that I can't convince you to enjoy something that you don't enjoy.
I better not say there's any other part of the program I don't like.
Jesus,
you might get
Dave,
offended.
No, but yeah, it's okay. I'm strong enough to admit I have vulnerability and sensitivity around being hurt when people say, hey, I don't like what you do. I mean, have you written a song?
No, I haven't written a song, no.
Well, it's imagine if somebody said, that's terrible.
You must be joking. I've been doing this job long enough to have heard people say how bad I am at lots of different things.
No, but you see, the thing is, you're not. You're very good.
I'm brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, you are. I genuinely was a huge fan of yours growing up, and you discovered a lot of great bands, and, you know, I'm just sad that I can't entertain you.
Right, yeah, okay. You failed on that one, David, yeah. Except for the rest of the Savage Eye, which is great. So anyway, onwards and upwards. It's next Friday in Glower and Ennis, next Saturday at the Pavilion in Dunleary. You will be on stage. You are David McSavage. And we'll watch this space and see what happens next.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Thank you, David.